This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Father, we thank you this morning, Lord, that you are too much for us in a way, Lord. That we'll never find the end. Lord, we can drink in from you, Lord. We can just, Father, that is just, you're more than enough this morning, Lord. That we can continue with our worship and sing and praise and try and express what we see and what we believe and what we feel. But no words here on earth can probably faithfully and describe you, Lord. But with our understanding, with what we have, Lord, we want to give that to you this morning, Lord. And Jesus, thank you that, Lord, that you receive that this morning. That it's beautiful unto you. When it's coming from a broken spirit, from a broken heart, a contrite spirit, Lord, a heart that is just adoring you. Thank you, Jesus. See, the thing with this type of worship is this, just you can carry on and on. About 2 weeks ago, we just carried on and on. And you know, carry on and on, because this just, I spoke to somebody in the first service, and she reminded me again about Isaiah 6, you know, and you know when the angels just fly around God, and when Isaiah saw that, he just said, holy, holy. And you just can carry on, holy, holy, and it carries on and on and on. And Father, I just pray this morning, Father, that we have more of these moments, Lord. We're just in such an awe of you, Lord, that it moves beyond our barriers that we have erected ourselves, Lord. Beyond time, Lord. Beyond space. Into a place of just more and more and more. Father, we thank you for a new fountain that you're opening up this morning. As I was just praying, as I sense God is saying, there's a new fountain that is opening up in our midst, which I believe is just the joy of the Lord just gushing forth and just something beautiful that's coming forth. Oh, Jesus, we know, Lord, you're not finished with us. Oh, Father, you're not finished with us at all, and that you just continue with that Holy Spirit. Bless you, bless you. The Lord bless you. I really am torn in two, because sometimes you know you need to deliver the message, but you enjoy the worship as much. And about 2 weeks ago, I knew I had the liberty to say, the Lord said to me, you can leave the message today. But today I know I need to deliver it. So Mark and you guys, thank you so much for just leading us into that place. Maybe it's because I didn't preach then, and I'm probably just a true pastor that just can't have not another time not to preach. So I love our own voice now, but I think it's just that I believe there's something God wants to do in our midst this morning through our series. Can we just have some light, please? As we're busy with a series of worshiping, we had a wonderful evening on Friday night, those of you who were here. And about 2 weeks ago as well, last week as well, we started with a series and a couple of events, which I believe we're starting to dig out a lot of the rubbish, as I can put it that way, you know, like opening up that fountain. And certain things starting to break, and certain things starting to move, and that we move with the Spirit. So it's special this morning when we have times like that. And it's important that we do not take that for granted. We cherish those moments in God's presence, and that we do not become used to that. And I think that's so easy to happen with us. You know, as I said, we are busy with our worship series, and it's my privilege this morning to share a little bit about the heart of the worship, although I really have to say that's such an almost a difficult term to describe that, and I'm just going to try and give you some stuff here this morning. But I think it's such an intricate, such an, you know, having God's heart, where do you start? How do I describe that faithfully in 30 minutes, you know? So God help me this morning just to bring some thoughts across here to you. I don't know if you, those of you who have heard this question, or we ask ourselves sometimes the question, what is worship? Actually, we had this the other night at one of our cell groups. We asked ourselves, what is worship? And then I've heard people saying this, and I've said it myself, and it's not wrong, hear me. Worship is everything I do. And it's true. Is it? Well, agree with me. Okay? Okay, can I just say, everybody awake? I had to wake up everybody in the first service. Okay, so you can say amen, hallelujah. Nod your head, okay? You can participate in the service, okay? It's not one of those silent churches, so you don't have to worry. I'll get worried if you are silent. Okay. So imagine you are on the lounge, in God's lounge, and he's we're just visiting, or we're not visiting, but we're with God. All right, now, free spirit. So we've said it ourselves, you know, that worship is everything we do. And even although you look at it in Scripture, Genesis 22, I think, I might be wrong with the reference there, when Abram, the first time the word worship appears, when Abram goes up the mountain and he's going to offer Isaac, which actually expressed to us or communicates to us that obedience is the highest form of worship. I agree with that completely. I agree also that worship is what we do here this morning. I agree that it's when we go to work, when we go home, wherever we go, we worship. Okay. The only, I don't want to say problem, I think what the Holy Spirit brought to my attention is that sometimes we rob the Holy Spirit from that power of conviction in a specific area of our lives if we make it so broad. And for the sake of what we are discussing this morning in terms of worship, when it gets to music especially and singing unto God and expressing that, I want to narrow it down a little bit down. When I say worship, I probably refer more to when we come together, when I'm on my own there, when I sing unto God, when I sing songs to Him that has actually become worship in my life. Are you with me? So it's not just that broad term. But I have also had a look at a scripture, and I think I found two things that's that would be running through scripture all the time when I look at worship. And the one is worship is always expressed, okay? Worship is not something just, it's inside here, but I'm not going to show it. In some or another way, it's finding some form of expression. That's why lately the Lord has started ministering to me as well about our giving as well, that it's part of expression. And this is for the building fund, by the way, okay, if you wondered. So, no. That is one form of worship as well. And obviously our singing. And then the other thing, the second principle thing that I've always, I actually mentioned giving was always accompanying worship. Actually, I ran ahead of myself. So apologies. But even giving myself, not just my finances or something, my talents, becoming available, maybe in other words. If I'm continuously reserved and not making myself available to the kingdom of God, I'm actually not worshiping. That's why church attendant or just attending church is not worshiping God necessarily. But the moment I open up and say, Jesus, here I am, what do you want to do? Actually, that's a dangerous thing. I say dangerous to say that to God. Because if you are really on, if you want to really hear what he wants to say, you might not like what he wants to say to you. The flesh. Let me put it that way. So, but anyway, let me take you a little bit down a rabbit trail on my own journey. You know, if you grew up like me in a more conservative background, in a religious church background, where it was a bit more conservative. Your experience in that religious environment, church, or culture shapes your perception of how you should worship. Isn't that true? If that's the truth. You go around to different countries, you go around to different churches, we do it differently. And I'm not here to knock churches here this morning. I'm just saying that all of us sit with a specific framework here this morning, and we believe, oh, this is the way you should worship, or this is acceptable to God. But the problem is, sometimes we worship within those paradigms, as we believe this is the way it's supposed to, and sometimes it's dead within that, and we have this specific mindset, and this should be the. And then one day, you meet God, and something takes place inside of you. We'll call it salvation, we call regeneration. We can talk about a lot of things here, but something happens that you know that you've met Jesus. And put it that way. And then when that takes place, when you receive that deposit of Christ inside of you, there's something in the inside that wants to give expression to that and say, no, I can't stay within this paradigm anymore. I shouted in the first service, always wanted to do that and just wake up everybody that's maybe asleep, not you guys out there watching the video, but you feel like, you know what, I need to give expression to this. And right now, I don't know what the people think about me and all of that, but I've got such an excitement inside of me. There's some fire burning inside of me and all this stuff that I've been told all the time. I don't know if I want to live within that box anymore because I just want to break this box and I just want to step away from that and just enjoy Jesus. Amen? You can say amen, yeah, okay. I mean, that's how I feel and that's why I get so excited about this. And I still do like that. This morning as well, I had a time of worship in my study room. And, you know, not every morning, but majority of times, you know. Then I have to make sure the window is closed, the blinds are closed, the door is closed. And then I become self-conscious or aware of my neighbors that are still close, on my music too loud when I, you know. And I said the other day to the worship team, I think, our worship at home should actually be much more expressive in a way. When we come together, I'm not saying we shouldn't be here. I'm just saying when we have it the other way around, we're setting up a stage where we perform, okay? But if that which is at the back door, happening in the back door, is even more expressive, coming here on a Sunday, we're like, okay, should I just let go? We in a way have to almost hold back. But if I have to do it the other way around, I'm not worshiping at home on a Sunday morning, I have to try and express something here, I'm performing. Okay, so I'm just letting out and I'm just doing what I'm doing anyway in my own time. And I'm encouraging guys, people, we've been talking about prayer, but worship, equally important this morning that we worship at home. There's nothing more special. This morning we were worshiping there, now we were competing with our own band. Anyway, by the way, they were preparing on this side and we worshiping in the mother's room because of the distance. Now you've got two bands there. And I later just gave up. I said, let me just turn off my speaker. I'm not going to compete with our own band. Yeah. But as we were praying, and I just sense God, you know, just worship, because worship is part of our prayer as we bring it unto God. I'm trying to get out of my introduction. Help me here. But anyway, I'm losing myself here. Just yeah, pray for me, please. You know, there's so much. Now, anyway, we're praying, and then we're singing, and then we left. And then I felt, you know what, I can't go into the service. There were about 7 minutes left. So I'm going to worship again. So I'll go into the office again on my own, because there's just something that wants to give expression to a God that we cannot fully actually describe, that we continue to see more and more of a God that continues to reveal himself to you and me. That's why the angels can fly around him and just go, holy, holy, holy. Every time he sees something, they see something of him, there's a new revelation. Isn't that amazing? And scripture speaks to us this morning specifically about, and coming back to the different types, shall I say, of where we've been exposed to that forms our paradigm this morning. I had to look at scripture and ask myself, what are the things that are transcending time, space, and culture this morning that speaks to us? And I found a part in scripture, maybe the Lord started speaking to me a while ago, is this part in 2 Samuel 6, if you want to turn with me there, from verse 11. And now let me just quickly explain to you. I'm going to refer to these two types here that we find in Scripture. And our type is portraying something that's about to come or what we will experience here. In this case, it was David and Michal. Okay, Michal was Saul's daughter and was given to David as his wife. Okay? And I don't know if it sounds the same in Afrikaans. I had this in English, the joke. Scripture says Michal's name, they gave her Ekla. Okay? Which means calf, okay? And in Afrikaans, we say kalfi, okay? And, okay, so we have these pet names for our love. What we say pet names, but the name that you call your wife, some call them honey, some call them lovey, you know. David called his wife calf, kalfi. But the thing is, don't call your wife a cow. That wouldn't be. Yeah? Okay, it's not nice. But anyway, let me carry on. So what's happening here, we have two opposing, I almost want to say spirits. Now, spirit transcends time, okay? Now, I'll say the spirit would come upon you or influence you to make certain decisions, to go down a certain route, to try and shape you, okay? So when I refer to the spirit of Michal this morning, it's just purely just to help you to see how the two opposing worlds, the two opposing agendas, kingdoms would have different approaches towards worship.
Okay, does it make sense to all of you? Okay, I'm not saying you are possessed with the spirit of Michal. Please hear my heart this morning. I'm just saying I have to continuously check myself that that kind of spirit doesn't affect me. Okay, that I don't submit to that type of behavior or my approach to God. Let's read scripture. Okay, the ark of the Lord, just to give you some background before. So the ark of the Lord, which represents the presence of God, was stolen by the, taken captive by the Philistines. Then David, they went to conquer. They took the ark. They put it on the cart. What happened is they came back to bring the ark back. By the way, David was the first one that was concerned, more concerned about getting the presence back into Jerusalem, into the with Israel. Saul couldn't care less in a way. And David was the one who said, listen, let me bring it back. So they did it the wrong way. They touched the ark. Bam, died. Okay, that's the part of the story that happened there. It's actually a scary story. And then the ark remained in the house of Obed-Edom for 3 months, okay? And then look at the scripture. The ark of the Lord remained in Obed-Edom's house for 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and his entire household, which speaks about the presence of God in our households, wherever we are. Wherever the presence of God is, the blessing is there. And I said this morning to the guys, you know, in our first service as well, it doesn't help we build this nice, beautiful church. We have a nice, beautiful stage, but we don't have God's presence. You know, we just have an empty shell. And even though God says, build my church physically as well, okay, and spiritually, we need to make sure that we build more spiritually almost the way than we build naturally, you know. Because what we do not want is on one day say, everybody drives by and they say, just a beautiful building. What I want to hear from people saying one day is, you should go into that place. And not that the building contains it. When we come together, when we worship, God is there. God is with them. God is with us this morning. So anyway, I'm getting sidetracked. Then King David was told, the Lord has blessed Obed-Edom's household and everything he has because of the ark of God. So David went there and brought the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with a great celebration. After the men who were carrying the ark of the Lord had gone 6 steps, David sacrificed a bull and a fattened calf. And David danced before the Lord with all his might, wearing a priestly garment. So David and all the people of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouts of joy and the blowing of ram's horns. But as the ark of the Lord entered the city of David, Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked down from her window. When she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she was filled with contempt for him. They brought the ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the special tent David had prepared for it. And David sacrificed burnt offerings and peace offerings to the Lord. When he had finished these sacrifices, David blessed the people in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies. Then he gave to every Israelite man and woman in the crowd a loaf of bread, a cake of dates, and a cake of raisins. Then all the people returned to their homes. When David returned home to bless his own family, Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet him. She said in disgust, how distinguished the king of Israel looked today, shamelessly exposing himself to the servant girls like any vulgar person might do. David retorted to Michal, I was dancing before the Lord who chose me above your father and all his family. He appointed me as the leader of Israel, the people of the Lord, so I celebrate before the Lord. Yes, and I'm willing to look even more foolish than this, even to be humiliated in my own eyes. Beautiful. But those servant girls you mentioned will indeed think I'm distinguished. So Michal, the daughter of Saul, remained childless throughout her entire life. What an interesting story. And I want to quickly, I haven't got that much time this morning, but share with you 4 things that the spirit of Michal will do with us in our word, in our approach to worship, in our approach to God, in the method that we worship. And I think the first thing is it will make you callous, insensitive to the presence of God. He will try and make you, because Michal couldn't discern that it's actually what's busy happening here is more important than protocol and customs and I want to say mannerisms. And we'll get to that a little bit later. But when we come to God, the greatest deposit and the greatest treasure that we have this morning as believers is the presence of God, that God decides to take residence inside of you and me. That's the greatest treasure that we should treasure this morning, that God would choose us through His Holy Spirit to come and take residence inside of us and say, do you know what? I want to be with you. If you look at Scripture, you look when Jesus was here and when we are living in the most, I want to say, special time of history, that Christ presence, that God's presence is taking residence inside of us. And we've got a responsibility to protect that and to treasure that and to steward that this morning. Amen? That is the thing. And when we have that inside of us, the Spirit will come, that Spirit of me calling will try and make you insensitive, cold, callous towards that. Because when you do not move with it, when you do not respond to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, we grieve Him every time. And when we're experiencing during worship, yeah, He calls us to that place. You know, you in worship, true worship will call you into that place of responding. And I'll be sharing on the fruit of the Holy, fruit of true worship. But the first ark was carried on a cart. And the second time they took the ark to bring it back. This time they put it on the shoulders of the priest. Because I believe it says something to us this morning. That the presence of God was never meant to keep in buildings and things. But it was meant for all of us to carry that around into a lost and dying world. Wherever we go. Isn't that amazing? Hmm? As I just speak, I just, you know, think about it. Imagine any one of us. I know, I don't know who's so spiritual. But let's say the most spiritual one amongst us. We're the only one that were privileged to have the presence of God within you. I would go around that person and say, can we just stay around you? But God has decided, no, man, I'll give you a deposit. I've got so much. I'm just too much, almost in a way. I can give all of you, and you still don't deplete me in a way. I don't know. This whole thing just blows my mind. Anyway, so that's why I say God is just weak. Anyway, so there's an increased manifestation of God's presence when we come together, if I can try and describe it that way. So we worship, and God's presence becomes just so, it increases. And then there's an invitation from us to respond to what we experience in that moment, to open up our hearts and just give expression to that. That's why it's possible in the same audience with a lot of people, that different people have different responses. The one person is more sensitive to the Spirit. He will move with the Spirit. And the other spirit will just stand there, as in Michal, with contentment in his heart or her heart. I'm not going to respond to this. And it might be because there's a paradigm. It might be because there's certain things in our way stopping us. You see, we become spectators rather than participators. Participators respond to the calling of the Holy Spirit, while spectators just stand here on the side and just check this thing out and say, you know what, I don't know. And unfortunately, the problem with that is we become critical. And that is dangerous. I've seen people, when they're down that route and they don't repent and they don't seriously work on that, before long, they're not with us anymore. Because nothing is perfect. Everything is wrong. You know, it just makes you critical. Because what does Satan want to do? Just remove you from that presence. Because here's something. When we are in trouble, when you're broken, whenever, you just get into the presence of God. I cannot say that and emphasize it this morning too much. Sometimes we just feel inadequate. Sometimes we just feel God. But you know what? Run into the presence of God. It's almost like this safe space that we can find ourselves. You know, away from the fiery darts of the enemy. And we've got a responsibility to protect it and steward His presence inside of us. The second thing, it will force you to protect your reputation. Okay, let me just explain to you. Look at that verse 14 and 15, also 20. David's response to that as opposed to her. And David danced before all the Lord with all his might, wearing a priestly garment. So David and all the people of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with his shouts of joy and the blowing of ram's horns. But as the ark of the Lord entered the city of David, Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked down from a window. And when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she was filled with contempt for him. Two totally different approaches. David dancing in the streets, rejoicing about the presence of God that's entering symbolically here. And just enjoying God. And then at the same time, well, the same thing is taking place. We have his wife there, sitting there, maybe in the palace, looking through the window and just say, this is not for me. Something enters in the heart. I'm not going to lower myself to that level. You know, when we truly worship, something must take place inside of us. We must die. The more we worship, the more we become aware of our own brokenness. And you just want to give that to God. And God, heal me. God, heal me. And you see more of God and you just realize this gap, almost like Paul said, you know, the longer I walk, the more I realize the greater sinner I am, actually. Because you just get a bigger revelation of God, and the bigger revelation you realize, oh man, I need you, God, more than ever before. Huh? Now the problem is we're so aware, and the reason you know you are still alive is when you're still so aware of the people around you, what they will think. Hmm? When we worship, for example, if I lift up my hands now, if I do this, oh, what will people say and think? Oh, and I know what, I still struggle with that from time to time when the Holy Spirit challenges me in different environments just to express or give expression to what's inside of me. But in many ways, like with Mikael, she tried to protect something that customs and stuff that she grew up. This is not the appropriate way for a king to act. And sometimes I call it reputation, because a reputation is a set of beliefs that's being held over us, or what other people think about us. It's not necessarily wrong, but a lot of times people have certain opinions and beliefs about you that's not the truth. Where God says that the thing that we need to protect is not so much our reputation. The thing that you and me need to protect is our destiny. Our destiny is a story. Listen, it's a story of an encounter with God that we continue to tell others so that the kingdom of God continues to expand. It's not a secret. It's a story of something that happened with me. That's why it's an ongoing thing. I can have a testimony this week of encountering God during this week, and I'm going to tell you about what happened, and it's going to further the kingdom of God. We need to protect that. You know, and that's why I say we need to be sensitive. Sometimes this thing that people want you, how to act, this reputation, no, leave that. For me, I need to protect my testimony. And if the Holy Spirit wants to give expression for that testimony, I should get out of the way in a way, or participate in a way, to put it that way. Do you get it? That's why, and I'm not saying, you know, just go out there and do stupid things and don't care about people. That's not what I'm saying. Paul had to write to the people because they went the other way around in 1 Corinthians 12, I think. He said, listen, guys, yeah, guys, go calm down. You're not taking other people in consideration here. But this is about our testimony. If we say we are spirit-filled, we should be considering the other people around us. But, don't try and protect something that somebody else put around you, and now you want to live in that box, whatever we want to call that. Second, the third thing, the Spirit will give priority worship style rather than the flow of the Spirit. Remember I said that Mikael grew up in the palace. They talk a certain way. They walk a certain way. Okay? Now let me just jokingly say this. Yesterday my wife, I don't know, she didn't know that she's doing something prophetically to the sermon this morning. They watched this movie, okay, about a normal English, or was it American or English girl? Help me. Was it American, just a normal girl that's getting married to the prince of one of the princes in England. So they had to teach them the mannerisms and all the way they speak. And actually funny, I just walked past them. I was like, is that what's happening? Okay, so I pick up the story. But here's the thing. Protocol, customs, all those things that we in life have sometimes, they want to shape you, that you need to act like that. Even manners. I mean, let me just say this as well. When you grow up in a house with just boys, your mom needs to teach you as well. Don't eat and talk at the same time. You know, that's good sometimes. There's men, but sometimes if we bow to that, it will force you down a specific direction of what people want you to do. I'm just talking broadly. Let me give you another illustration. A couple of years ago, they invited me at our municipality to open up the meeting, the monthly meeting that they have with the board. So I went there, and I'm in the parking lot. I'm waiting for my time just to enter in there, and I'm really thankful. I want to say that I'm thankful that our municipality would still offer us the opportunity as pastors all across the town to open up the meeting. So now I sat there, it's my first time, and I thought, oh, how do I address the crowd here? What's the appropriate protocol? So I phoned my friend or brother, elder, Werner, because I knew he's going into these types of meetings quite often. I said, what's the appropriate protocol to address the mayor? He wouldn't want to know. He's worship. That's what I talk about protocol sometimes. Where did that come from? I just ask myself. Where did that come from? I'm not saying it in any way in disrespectful towards our leaders. I'm just asking, where did we say his worship? It's only one that I want to worship. So I had to go around that. I still wanted to honor them. I still want to take this opportunity. So you just slip around that and just address them as fellow zwakke hoenders, leaders of the town, a mayor of the town. What I'm saying is I could bow to that, and that's just a stupid, simple example, people. But the Holy Spirit would prompt us to move sometimes beyond those barriers that's keeping us to worship in a specific style, specific way, because you were exposed to that due to your culture. And then you think, oh, this is the way it should be. That's why missions is sometimes such a good thing for us to go and out there and just shift stuff here. To express, to experience God. Other day, we had such a wonderful encounter with the Lord in the middle of Ochu. We went there for a funeral. And at God's presence, first time in my life I actually did this. A funeral, 11:30 on a Friday night, one of the services. Sorry. And I could just sit there and say, God, it's so amazing that you can sometimes we just experience your presence beyond my culture, beyond my space, beyond what I've been exposed to. If we're careful enough, we're sensitive enough, we will sense his presence in the midst of those people that might worship different than me, but we sense his presence. Don't camp around, and that's what I sense God saying to us. Don't camp around customs and styles and mannerisms and forms that's been established by man anyway. God is not there. He's there in his spirit, and he yearns to connect with us. And many of us need to get out of that place, out of that window where we find ourselves sitting there, just looking down there. I remember we were in London, and coming back from going there and coming from here, being exposed to a charismatic background already here. But even within this charismatic background where I was exposed, there was a certain way of worship. Then I go there, and the people start falling over when the people pray for them. And I've never been exposed to that. And now I'm struggling to, what do I do with this? God, this is, I don't know if this is real. And I went down the slippery road of just becoming a spectator. So I remember one Sunday I stood there at the back there. We were in this kind of auditorium, and I'm back there at the top, and they're praying there in the front, and now they just boom, 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 boom. They go like this. And I'm there, very self-righteous, and I stand there. Oh, that one was real. Oh, no, that one wasn't real. And then suddenly the Holy Spirit would speak to me and says, you're not the judge. And he gave me a verse. For me, it meant, you know, that verse when he talks about the wheat, you know, to sifting that out. He said, it's not your job. I'll do that. Because you're going to become so critical, you're not going to receive anything. That's my alarm that tells me the plane needs to land. Relax. And I became so critical, and the Holy Spirit had to speak to me about that. Now, here's the thing, people. Let me just explain to you. Sometimes it is unreal. Sometimes it is fake. And especially, I apologize, where the church sometimes, I mean, they had a program the other night on television about weird stuff that the charismatic churches would do, with just doing such harm out there to the name of the church, that we really have to say, sorry, world, sorry, sorry, this is awkward. This is, I mean, I saw the other day, and it wasn't this as well, the pastor would call himself the shepherd, which is all right, that. And the next thing, he would speak to the congregation. Then they start bleating and they crawling to the front. And man, there you're in the front. Huh? It's. And I'm not going to knock a church. I'm just saying, people, there are weird stuff out there. Okay? But it's not, you know, what we should be careful of to become critical. Move with the Spirit of God. So, anyway, I've fallen over myself. It happened to me. And I'm not critical towards that anymore. Okay? What we need to do is to be sensitive to the Spirit of God continuously. It can happen within our own midst that some people sometimes miss God and some are here deeply in connection with God. And just because that thing or how that person gives expression to that is new to me, let's be careful to be critical. If we do sense in the Spirit and we are sure that the Holy Spirit is leading us, then we need to pray for that so it doesn't become a distraction. And here's the thing, true worship draws us. When somebody truly worships, it draws us into that place. I'm going to say that. Maybe I should say it now. But Quentin is not here this morning. And Quentin has just sent some blessing to me when he worships. And so many of you. But I think there's something beautiful in the way he worships. Because when I got to know him, I think I got to know him with tears and his worship. It never goes. It never separates, but it's true worship. And when I worship, when he worships, there's something inside of me. So, God, it's beautiful. So the other day, he wasn't here, and I was preaching. It almost felt like something is missing here, in the front here. And I realized it's him. But the thing is, when we truly worship, it draws other unbelievers and people walking in here. Wow, these people worship God. There must be something here. It draws us into that place. Just as much as we do not truly worship, it becomes a distraction in the presence. And the last thing that would happen in the end there is the spirit of Michal will cause barrenness in our lives. That's the last thing as a result of all these things. The Bible says she didn't have any children. And true worship, people, true worship, when we truly come to God, it gives birth to the purpose of our God in our life. You cannot truly worship without being changed, without bringing forth fruit. I'll be sharing on that in a week or two. But it draws us into that place of just breaking before God, emptying ourselves, giving expression. Just say, Jesus, you are everything. I cannot give more. Let's read one more psalm. And then we're going to end there. Psalm 126. If you can page there, turn there with you. Psalm 126. What a beautiful psalm. And then we're just going to sing one more song. And it's giving praise and honor this morning. When the Lord brought back his exiles to Jerusalem, it was like a dream. We were filled with laughter and we sang for joy. And the other nations said, what amazing things the Lord has done for them. Yes, the Lord has done amazing things for us. What joy. I love the scripture. Look, here he comes. Restore our fortunes, Lord, as streams renew the desert. Those who plant in tears will harvest with shouts of joy. They weep as they go to plant their seed, but they sing as they return with the harvest. It talks about the tears there. Often worship, and I'm not saying you should do this just to do this. But I believe there's something with the brokenness in us that finds expression maybe through tears. The scripture is so full of that. Tears of joy, tears of salvation, tears going out there trying to sow seed, and the Lord says, you'll come back with joy in your hearts. You sow with tears, but you'll come back. Tears of desperation when Ezra goes before God. Esther goes before God, sorry, not Ezra. Tears of travail when Isaiah goes to God. Jesus himself in John 11:35, the shortest sentence in scripture, Jesus wept. Tears of compassion and tears of repentance. I'm not saying that we should cry just because crying is crying, either way. By the way, just get to a place, and that's my prayer this morning. I want to end, if you can stand with me. That we get a place again, that God would just smite our hearts again. Just touch our hearts. Say, Jesus, just give us a broken heart again. That would just flow. And if tears flow from that place, that it would give birth to something beautiful. Charles Spurgeon talked about the liquid prayer. I remember CS came into one of our men's camps, and he said one day the Lord just challenged them, spoke to them, and all they did is just crying for one day. Praying with your tears. I haven't been there. To say that's depleting you completely in a way. It's just bring that to God. I remember the other day, when was it? We were watching these intercession videos, and one of those sessions, I just couldn't stand it anymore. Sometimes God takes you down that route where you just have to separate yourself and just break before God. Because that's the kind of God we serve that works so deep inside of us that we run out of words. And then I have to pray for my tears and the brokenness. And just trust God. Do something deep in my life. And through us. Father, we thank you this morning, Lord. That you're too much for us. In many ways. But we want to say to you this morning, Lord, that we want to give expression with our whole being as in David, Lord. And we know it will still fall short, Lord. we thank you, Jesus, that you receive that this morning. And Father, we thank you that you take us down a route, Lord, where you just need to touch our hearts afresh, Lord. To worship in spirit and truth, but from a place of brokenness. Not to be big in our own eyes, as David said, Lord, but to humble ourselves completely. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.